Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
American woman, listen what I say.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Show. It's the middle show of the work week. And also, it's our last hump show without a full-time producer.
Whew.
That's good because it's been a couple of months and it's rough. It's rough on all of us. It's not just rough on me. I hope it's not too rough on you, but it's also rough on the guys who are just cycling through. Poor Nick is now standing in tonight across the double pane glass where, weirdly enough, the cameras have moved again. So I'm going to move them during the break because they seemingly have legs and they just get up and walk around. Right now there's one directly blocking my view of Nick in the control room. Thank you, Nick. Well, he's not in the control room right now. He just walked in and handed me a piece of paper. It's the hump show. We've got a holiday weekend coming up. It's, of course, week one in college football. It's your last Sunday without the NFL. That's this weekend, your last Sunday without the NFL. So there's a lot happening, both personally for us here on the show, ready to start this new era with Pete Bellotti, Pete the Body, he prefers to be called. I don't know if I'm going to be able to call him that. We'll see. Just in time for football, but we've got this one last hump show. And even as I navigate the social media on my lonesome, I did not put up a post where you can send me your questions. So for that reason, you can just listen to the sound of my voice and find me online and I'll look for your questions. I'll know that you were listening to the show if you send questions to either of our social media sites. It's going to be so easy. We can do this. Seriously. Off the cuff we go. Why not? Nothing scripted here. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio on Twix and then on our Facebook page. If you have not joined us on Survivor Island, well, you've got time, but I'm going to keep nagging you. If you've never played with us, it's super easy. You just need an email and a password. There's a brand new island set up for you, courtesy of Jay through Pete and then to me. And if you're going to stay a while, well, you better know the rules. One pick per week. Save your picks. Please save your picks, because if you don't save the pick, it doesn't matter if you brilliantly selected a winner every single week. If you don't save it, we're never going to know how brilliant you were at picking football games. So you can find that link on our show Twix at Amy After Hours, also on mine, though I haven't retweeted it, so it might be down the feed a little bit. And then at the top of our Facebook page, easy to find there as well. I would tell you to call in and ask questions, but since I can't answer the phone, you're just kind of Google it. Google what a survivor pool is all about. I know Ryan actually joined last night while we were on the air. So if Ryan can do it, you can too. Again, online, either one of our sites, you can find that link for Survivor Island. If you played in the past, you should have the invitation sent directly to your email because that's who we are. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I saw this. Funny, I think it was funny. Funny column on ESPN.com in which several writers and staff contributors they were taking the pulse of NFL players when it comes to quarterbacks. Funny stuff, because they asked not only who the best quarterbacks in the league are, and those are not super hard to figure out. They're actually fairly duh. That phrase did not make any sense, but you get what I'm saying. They're duh. They're not real difficult to figure out. The top three current quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, both recent MVPs, and then Joe Burrow, though he's much farther down the list in terms of the votes from current NFL players, partly because of his injuries. And then in the top five, Josh Allen appears. But those same NFL players were also voting on the most overrated quarterback. And wouldn't you know, Josh Allen got the most votes in that category. It is interesting, isn't it, to see how differently we view and even they view some of the top athletes in the NFL or Major League Baseball or hockey or hoops. It's so subjective when you're talking about a category like this one. Best current quarterbacks. He got enough votes to be in the top five. Most overrated quarterback. He got more votes than anybody else among these particular players. As I understand it, it was just over 100 current NFLers, which only represents two active rosters. Actually, not even two complete active rosters. But the idea that Josh Allen could be in both categories, that was funny. And one NFLer gave the reason as too many turnovers, which Josh would probably tell you himself that there are too many turnovers. He's brash and he's bold. Apparently, he's also a trash talker, according to this poll. But he's brash and he's bold, and a lot of times he's the top rusher for the Buffalo Bills, which I don't love. I haven't loved since he got there. They've tried to fix that issue to keep him healthy. He's pretty durable because of his size. Think nearly as big as Cam Newton. But at the same time, I don't love the practice of having a quarterback lead your team in rushing. Even Lamar Jackson, as fast and shifty as he is, he's also been dealing with some of his own injuries over the course of his career. So it's kind of interesting results from inside the NFL. Now, you know how players get fairly emotionally tied to or fairly engaged in the NFL 100, which is also voted on by peers. Some of them get upset. They get offended. They do interviews about their rankings in the NFL top 100. This also came from inside the NFL fraternity. So I wonder the reaction of Josh Allen. I think he would say it doesn't matter, right? That's the opinion of someone else, or that's their opinions. They're entitled to them. Oh, but I think it would probably motivate me. The Buffalo Bills have run into the Chiefs. They've run into the Bengals. Seemingly over the last few years, they've come close. Maybe, yeah, it's a couple of turnovers here. It's a defensive letdown there. and in the AFC, where it's so competitive, close isn't enough to dethrone the Chiefs. Close isn't enough to get to a Super Bowl, even. I am very interested in this new iteration of the Buffalo Bills. They've had a lot of changes on both sides of their roster. Though, of course, Josh Allen is still there. So I can't wait to see how he comes out of this offseason, how he's able to pull some of these new pieces of the offense together, but also the defense. Got younger. Can they take advantage of their run in the AFC East? They're going to have more competition in that division, seemingly. But also take advantage of the prime of Josh Allen's career. It's a lot to think about. But that caught my eye. Since some players really get into this kind of stuff, will it be something that Allen is answering questions about? Now, to be fair, it was only 11 votes. For most overrated quarterback, he got 11. Jalen Hurts got 10. Tua also got 10. Considering this newfound confidence of Tua's, maybe in light of a brand new contract, in which he comes out and speaks about some of the slights he's dealt with in the past, most notably Brian Flores. Well, is this a slight that goes on his list? It is a wonderful thing to have someone who's confident in you and who believes in you, like Mike McDaniel does with Tua. That confidence allows you to speak out sometimes. So those results are, I think they're worth reading. But I definitely wondered about the reaction of Josh Allen. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Speaking of quarterbacks, we're hearing rumblings. Dak Prescott could still get his new deal before the Cowboys kick off their season. It would come on the heels of CeeDee Lamb getting his new deal to make him the second highest paid receiver in the NFL behind Justin Jefferson. He had a message for Cowboys fans, even before he did his press conference, if you will. It was a reporter scramble in front of CeeDee Lamb, but it was organized enough that there was a Dallas Cowboys curtain behind him. But first, speaking to fans via Cowboys Twitter.
What's up, Cowboy Nation? It's your boy. He's back in the building. I'm happy to be back. Can't wait to see y'all. At home, away, wherever. I know we travel well. Go nuts every game. Plenty of touchdowns and a lot more of that coming. Love y'all.
He told the story of how he got this contract and how he found out about this contract and actually admitted to some impatience as he was waiting. And that's tough. I can understand that. Been in this situation before, actually, going back now 10 years, where here at the network, there were a group of us hosts who were waiting to find out who would be offered this time slot in the wake of the previous show moving to a different day part. And my agent kept telling me, you're in a good spot. You're in a really good spot. I've had conversations with them. I expect to know something soon. Don't worry. You've got to be the leader for this particular job or promotion. But we didn't know for weeks. And of course, people are asking, which is what CD said. He told reporters that he was getting constant messages from his teammates. What's the status? What's the latest? Anything? Is it close? When are we going to see you again? Just, yeah, not that different than probably what the average person might deal with when they're waiting on a promotion or a new job, trying to take a big step, and you've got family and friends who are interested. And so I remember waiting, even getting messages or calls from coworkers. Well, have you heard anything? Do you know anything? And just remembering what it was like to get that call and have the job offered to me. And so I can certainly identify, and I'm sure many of you can as well, identify with that moment when that hope, that dream became a reality. And so CD was talking to reporters and he was explaining what it was like to get that call from his agent and to finally hear the news. Nick, I think it's either 6 or 7.
Quite honestly, now that we got it done, I can tell y'all. So with my man, I was like, bro, listen, we just need to get this done. I'm ready to go be with my guys. I know we're missing out on so much time, like a month. Obviously, I'm training on my own. Granted, I can be prepared, but like timing, you can't teach that. You can't coach that. You can't rep. Like the only thing you can do is rep that.
So that's how he was getting impatient. And he said he tried to stay calm for most of the process, but toward the end, he was starting to get impatient, just ready to get out there on the field, even though he did miss a month, obviously, but got that call from his agent. So it's the other one.
My agent FaceTimed me. He was actually kind of crazy because he hit me with yeah, man, this is going south, da 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 da. I'm like, what do you mean it's going south? Like, it's time. Like, and then he hit me with, yeah, they're only going to try to pay you $34 a year. I'm like, well, where do I sign?
I'm happy for him. Big smile on his face. And his emotions, too. When he heard from his agent and then was able to sign on the dotted line.
It was amazing, bro. All the stress, everything just went out the window.
All the stress, all the everything just went out the window. I'm sure that applies to a lot of diehard Cowboys fans as well. All the stress, all the everything just went out the window. Now, CD did admit he wished he would have had camp. He does believe he's in shape, and that's not an issue, but the timing, the rhythm. Presumably, he and Dak Prescott can get it back fairly quickly. If you remember their 2023 connection, the record numbers that Lamb put up, and over the course of his career, 4 seasons with the Cowboys, he's caught 32 touchdowns. He's worth it. He's worth it for the Cowboys. He's worth it for Dak Prescott. It stinks that it took this long, and I hope it doesn't take as long, meaning the length of a camp, for him to get up to speed and for him to settle back in. But as I've said about, oh gosh, Aaron Judge in Major League Baseball, football is better with CeeDee Lamb on the field because he's that talented. We had asked an NFL insider, Mike Sando, who joined us last night, what impact this might have on Brandon Ayuk and getting that deal done. And he genuinely thinks, not a whole lot, that the Niners are fairly savvy negotiators. They're not going to pay him more than what will make it worth their while. And he actually doesn't think there's a lot of comparison between CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Ayuk and the amount of production for the Cowboys receiver versus the Niners. And partly because the Niners have so many other incredible options. As much as Ayuk is wide receiver one, can stretch the field, he's not the top option for the Niners. So last few days before the NFL season kicks off and we still have a couple of holdouts or hold-ins, Ja'Marr Chase, those questions being asked of Zach Taylor on Tuesday. Robert Saleh fielding questions about Hassan Reddick on Tuesday. And yeah, Tuesday was also cut down day. But I like what Kevin Stefanski had to say. It's the first 53, not the final 53. So you can imagine that there will still be jostling. I was speaking of Kevin Stefanski. He and the Browns keep, at least initially, four quarterbacks on their roster. I can't believe...
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Push the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
I believe that that's going to be the final number, at least active roster. I could see having one on your practice squad. That's generally how teams do it. Maybe you have three on your roster and one on your practice squad. Still, that's a lot. But it makes me wonder if they do end up carrying the three plus the one. What does that tell us about Deshaun Watson? Kind of concerned, even though they're trying to reassure us that he'll be ready and he's good to go. Yeah, now we get to ask these questions because we're just over a week away from the start of the season. At A-Law Radio, love to hear from you. Now, I'm about to put up a post on each of our socials where I'm on the lookout for your questions for Ask Amy Anything. So make sure you send those. You can either do it to my account or our show account at Amy After Hours. And then also our Facebook page. And here's the other thing that I'd love to do. Usually we do this a little earlier in the football preseason, but there's been a lot going on. Olympics, dot, dot, dot. A fill in the blank exercise, if you will. The 2024 NFL season will rock if, blah, blah, blah. So if my team, if Patrick Mahomes, if the Rams, if la, 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 la. I want to leave it wide open so you can fill in it however you like. So there's two ways that you can chime in on this edition of the show. Our hump show, middle show of the work week. I'll put up a post. Well, I've got one up. I got three more to do. This is what happens when I'm handling social media all by my lonesome. It's a process. We've got some baseball to talk about as well. And then the U.S. Open for a couple of reasons. Number one, the top player in the world on the men's side recently tested positive for banned substances, and yet he is still active and he's still playing at the U.S. Open. Also, the longest U.S. Open match in history. Crazy stuff. For those of you who remember the Olympics, he was actually featured fairly prominently in the Olympics. We'll have fun. We'll get her done. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
3-1 here against O'Hearn. Flaherty brings it, and that is stroked well. Out to right field. Mookie Betts going back at the track. This ball is out of here. Ryan O'Hearn has got a home run. Finally. For Ryan O'Hearn, it had been a while. The first homer that he has hit since July 20th, and he is smiling from ear to ear as he rounds third and gives the Orioles a 1-0 lead. 2-1 Dodgers. Holiday is on the move, and there's a swing and a deep fly ball out to left field. Hernandez looking this one back. It is gone, and Arias has got another one. Making his fifth home run of the month of August, and the Orioles, they have vaulted in front.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Don't say it. I don't want to hear it. It's way too early to be calling any matchup, even one that's interleague, a World Series preview. So don't do it. though I already saw it on social, about the Orioles and the Dodgers. Series opener in L.A., and the Orioles, with a pair of home runs off Jack Flaherty, get the best of the Dodgers 3-2, a tight one. Actually, in the eighth inning, Mookie Betts up to his old tricks. He singled, he stole second, but then there were a pair of strikeouts that got the Orioles out of the inning unscathed. So, yeah, this is a good matchup between two teams that are definitely vying for playoff spots. I would say first place, but the Orioles have actually dropped behind the Yankees by just a smidge for now. Anyway, we still have a couple days left in August and the stretch run to go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio or our Facebook page. So I've managed to put up a couple more posts. I'm doing it, you guys. They're not fancy. They're not pretty. I don't have GIFs on these. There's no memes. They're just, I'll just go find them. We're looking for your questions for Ask Amy Anything. We'll do that in a couple hours. But also, we're on the cusp, and it's time to fill in the blank. This football season will be a success if what, Marco Belletti? Hi, Marco Belletti.
Hi.
Oh, your face. All right, come on, you're always prepared to talk
the
about
actual
football.
NFL?
Well, either, but I would assume most people are going to answer NFL.
I got to be fair. I'm thinking from the NFL standpoint, I'm thinking Roger Goodell. As long as nobody gets arrested, we're good. We're going to make money, and somebody's going to win. Who cares who it is?
Since when do you think like Roger Goodell?
Well, that's what I mean. When you say like the NFL, it depends on each individual team. Everybody's got their own different stuff.
It'll be a success for you if what?
For me personally?
Yeah.
Then it's the Giants. Then whatever, you know, the Giants make the playoffs. Daniel Jones actually proves that he's legitimately the quarterback of the future and stays healthy for 17 games.
Do you want him to be the quarterback of the future?
100%.
You do? Okay, want them.
If he stays healthy and can prove that, because that's been a big bugaboo, and actually...
Bugaboo. I haven't heard that in a while, Grandma.
Puts forth a real... You know, look, 2 years ago was a major step forward. He needs to be a little better than he was 2 years ago. He puts forth that type of effort, and they actually make the playoffs this year, and he's healthy for 17. His contract, believe it or not, would make him underpaid. That's how crazy the money has gotten in quarterbacks in the NFL. $40 million a year puts him like 17th overall. So, yeah, if he can be the quarterback that can put together a season that's, whatever, 4,000 yards, 500 on the ground, 30 touchdowns, and lead a playoff charge and be paid 17th in the NFL, 100%.
Now, see, I would say about the Giants, the season would be a success if the offensive line actually is able to give him time to throw, protect him, just in general, look like the line that is paid the way that they are.
To me, that's a given. I have that much confidence. They're not question marks where you got them in the sixth round or you're hoping in the first round this guy's going to develop into. Every one of those guys has been an NFL caliber starter and a veteran.
Yes.
For other teams. No, yes. Really, because that's what the Giants did. We don't know how to figure this out. We can't develop anybody.
I love
That's what the Giants are saying. Yes. No, it's not we as in that's what the Giants are saying. They were smart enough to go into the offseason and go, we have not developed any of our guys. And we have swung and missed at everything. So you know what? Let's throw money at the problem. You've developed, you figured it out. I will steal your player and pluck him in, and he's gonna be the guy that keeps Daniel Jones upright. They did that with John Runyon. They did that with Jermaine Illuminor. They're hoping they did that with Greg Van Vroten. That's three guys up front. Andrew Thomas was already an All-Pro, and now you have an offensive line that's settled. The question is, does Daniel Jones have shell shock? Is he trust his knee? He's been beat up for 6 years. Does he believe in the line that's actually going to be an NFL caliber line?
I can't believe it's already been 6 years.
This is year six for him.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, he's missed two of them, basically.
Right, I was going to say.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
Two of them was under Joe Judge and Jason Garrett, which I've been on record saying a million times. That was 2 years that was wasted completely because they castrated him in 2 years. So those are 2 years that are gone. So he's had issues. He hasn't helped himself. He's had outside problems, but it comes down to one season. You get hurt, you're gone. You don't play well, you're gone. There's no excuse. There's nothing. It doesn't matter what the reason is. It's not there. It's over.
All right, so time to fill in the blank. I'm just going to paraphrase what Marco said. This football season will be a success if Daniel Jones is not castrated. think I got that right. At A-Law Radio. You can also send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Kevin replies, this football season will be a success if the ratings are as high or higher than last year, especially for the weird international games. Well, some of those weird international games are also on streaming. So I think from the perspective of the NFL, if they can get people to flock to Peacock, if they can see the Netflix numbers get a boost because of their football broadcasts. This is really unproven territory. They like what they've seen so far. If people continue to buy into Amazon, this is going to it's going to happen more and more, and the NFL is out in front of it even more than other sports are.
Yeah, but that's more for Amazon and Netflix. The NFL got their money. So if it falls flat for Netflix, that'll mean that Netflix isn't there for the big paycheck the next time, but that means that maybe one of the networks would be. You know what I mean? Like, but I feel like the NFL is it's untouchable. Well,
it's got its money, but that's my point, is that what about you go to advertisers and say, look, these entities were already booming on their own with entertainment, drama, their own TV series, their movies, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. We gave them something they didn't have anywhere else, which is this spike in subscribers or this spike in people paying attention. You take that to your corporate partners and your advertisers, and all of a sudden your earnings power balloons.
Yeah. I feel like this is, it's almost easy. When the NFL is going to run into the wall, but we're nowhere close to it. They print money. It doesn't matter what they do. They can make everything, everything's a mistake, and it doesn't matter.
And did you hear their latest money-making scheme? Now they're allowing equity partners. Mm. Essentially, all they are is financial investors to buy up to 10% stakes in each team, which means that it's an infusion of cash and no risk at all for the owners. I don't even know why you need it, but that's how they can cause the worth of each of these franchises, which now we're talking $6 billion, right? $6 billion. They can add to that just by infusing fresh capital.
You know what? I just said that might be the start of where it goes awry. Because now we're going into funny money, where it's not real, where it's all the, you know, and then you can get into all kinds of schemes and all the, that it's, they're almost so far ahead that they're eventually going to trip up and almost fall on their face because they have to, because they're just going after every dollar. That's great for now, and that's great for every owner. But would it shock you if that wound up becoming a major problem down the line because there's some sort of collapse or some sort of whatever scheme?
Yeah, they don't need the money. No. That's the thing.
No.
They don't need the money. They're continuing to make more. The revenue, annual revenue, is getting larger and larger, right? The numbers are bigger. We know that the franchises are selling for record numbers when they do. So it seems to me, right, that it's not necessary. It's more greed, obviously.
But, which is the NFL. And what's really That's what the all
point?
It is, greed.
Other than the infusion of cash, there's really no point to it. So I don't know if every owner, like for instance, I would be surprised if the Rooney family took advantage of it. Like some of these families I would think wouldn't even want to bother.
I don't know. I don't know what the stakes are with all of them, what the percentages are, what they have, how much money that would bring in. I mean, anybody, when it comes down to money, everybody acts a little differently. I think the only one that would be a little confusing is the Packers because they don't really have an owner. Mm-hmm. So that, I don't know what that does for them. I would imagine they're completely out of that because they don't actually have an owner. So that would be, I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know the logistic of the business aspect of that, but I feel like they wouldn't be involved to be able to, I don't know, capitalize, if you will.
855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. We've got a spot where you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. In addition, want you to fill in the blank. This football season will be a success if what? By the way, that was Orioles Radio Network when we first started this segment and then meandered our way into football and surprising Marco. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's the Hump Show, middle show of the work week. And yeah, heading toward a holiday weekend. I suspect it will be relatively quiet in my neighborhood. Neither Bob nor I are doing anything but working, other than Saturday, of course. Saturday, this is actually kind of fun. Yes, we are going to pay attention to college football. His team, the Texas Longhorns, will begin their season this weekend. But he asked me earlier on Tuesday if I wanted to go see the new movie Reagan in theaters. We're both big fans of history. Reagan's really the first president that I ever paid much attention to as a kid. And so to go see, and I love Dennis Quaid. He's terrific. So to go see this new movie and its spin or its perspective on history, the Iron Curtain coming down on the brink of Cold War with the USSR, we're really excited about that. We're both kind of history nerds. And so that's what we're going to do on Saturday, going to a matinee like we're little kids. We don't mind saving 25%. So, yes, that's part of our weekend. But otherwise, we'll be covering football, getting ready for the upcoming week and the upcoming kickoff of the NFL season, both working over Labor Day. So I'm pretty sure that's what it means, right? You labor on Labor Day. I'll be with you on both Sunday night as well as Monday night. And then right after that, our new producer, full-time producer begins. And so we're excited to launch into a new era just in time for the NFL season. If you hadn't heard, Pete is on another show here on the network and has been doing that time slot, which is early mornings, East Coast. And he's looking for a change, not just for a creative challenge, but also because of his family. When he started there, he wasn't married. He didn't have two kiddos. And so when the network launched, it was a little bit different situation for him at home. Now he's got a couple of kiddos, including one who is headed into, I think it's pre-K. And for that, with his wife working outside the home, it's a better time for him to be at work at night. So he came to me and asked if we'd be interested or if I'd be interested in collaborating with him. We were able to work out a schedule that we think will work for us. Pretty excited because it's been a long time. I haven't had a producer with his kind of experience in more than 15 years. So I am really looking forward to just fresh collaboration. It's been a long 2 months of a revolving door, though I do appreciate guys like Nick and Ryan and Manny and others who have mixed up their own schedules, messed with their own schedules. In Nick's case, he's got a full-time job, and so I know it's a lot to juggle. So, Nick, thanks again for being here and working with me. But, yeah, it's been 2 months of that, and it's been a challenge for all of us. And the network, too, just missing extra bodies and having to have people, in some cases, work twice in a single 24-hour period. So, yeah, looking forward to finding some stability and getting into a routine again with football. We've got this one last hump show where we can do more of an impromptu Ask Amy Anything. So you can post your questions on either our show Twix at Amy After Hours. Of course, you can use mine and since I'll be the one looking for them. And also on our Facebook page. By the way, I found what I feel like is the perfect gift to go along with our football question on Facebook. So you could check that out. Would love to see your reaction. And we're asking you to fill in the blank. This football season will be a success if what? Rocco is listening in Saratoga Springs. Welcome to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hi, Amy. How are you? Loving the show. New to the show. You know, here in New York, they converted WCBS 880 to Now Sports, my favorite. Not only the Mets, I get you.
Oh, excellent. That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. What does your hubby Bob do?
He's in logistics.
Logistics.
Yeah.
Okay, good. He's figuring all that stuff out. Reagan, I didn't realize they made a movie about him. I'm a history buff myself.
Oh, yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. Dennis Quaid is great. He's able to morph from one role to the next and really submerge himself in that role.
Great. I'm going to maybe have to check that out. Definitely. One of our best presidents ever, for sure. For sure. No question about it. But, Aim, as far as sports are concerned, well, I run a hedge fund, so I'm a Wall Street guy. I worked on Wall Street all the way back. You don't want to know how old I am, but I worked on the street. 40 Wall, 44 Wall, 55 Water Street at the end of Wall Street. So I was a foreign exchange trader. I worked in banking and all that. As far as the private equity deal, 10%, but they're only letting 4 private equity companies in initially, okay? And
right.
Only 10%.
Right.
Now they're negotiating because the NFL wants a piece of the money the private equity companies are going to make out of this, all right? So the NFL is smart. They have, you know, hey, don't forget, your commissioner was a lawyer at one time.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, so they're going to look for a bigger and bigger piece. As far as what this does to teams, I don't know. But actually, if you can get into some of these funds, you could be an owner of the teams they're owners of, okay? Yeah.
As well, not me. I can't. Couldn't possibly.
don't worry. One day. I'm a kid that grew up in the South Bronx, in the housing projects of the South Bronx, and now look at me. Hey, Customato was my uncle, the legendary boxer, trainer, and, you know, Mike Tyson. Yeah, that's my uncle. You know, Floyd Patterson, the youngest heavyweight world champion in the 50s, two-time heavyweight world champion, Jose Torres, Olympic silver medal winner and light heavyweight champ, and Iron Mike. He adopted Iron Mike, you know. So at 6, his mom died, and my uncle adopted him. And so he's my cousin. That's crazy,
right?
That
is crazy. You just got about 10 seconds, but it's okay. It's good to
seconds.
Talk to you.
That my dream, my J-E-T-S, Jets, get into the playoffs. It has been so long, Amy,
right.
So long. It's about time.
That will make the season a success. We're asking you to fill in the blank. This football season will be a roaring success if Rocco's Jets make it into the playoffs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.